Thank you, Brother Allen. What a blessing. I'm hopeful that you're thirsting, amen, this morning for the Word of God. You'll take your Bibles and go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. We often say Psalms because it's the book of songs, but this is Psalm 56. We're not going to sing them all today. Amen. But Psalm 56. The Lord used David to pen down this psalm, and I think sometimes it helps us to understand the background a little bit. And again, I was not there when he penned it down. I'm old, but I'm not that old. Amen. And so today, I know that many of us may feel that way. But part of the circumstances laying behind this a little bit is it says in most Bibles, it'll give you a little bit of when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now, again, there are a couple times there, but really primarily the time he was taken was one time, and many of you may remember this in David's life, and you can read it there. But, you know, he kind of had to act like he was a crazy man for a while. He had to let spittle, he used the term, run down his beard. And he was in a foreign land with a bunch of folks that did not believe in the God that he believed in, that would, again, wouldn't let him worship the way he worshiped. But he was on the run from Saul. And he found himself in this place, and if they knew that, again, he had been a general that had put down a lot of the Philistine army, and one of the biggest Philistines of all, amen, and the giant. And so for many of us, we don't think about that, but here he is, and he acts in such a way that's crazy. Do you know a lot of times when we live for God, the world thinks we're crazy? When we tell them that we give our money to the church because it's God's money, and that we give them money. And again, there's a lot of folks that begin to think thoughts that we're crazy. And to them, some of the things we do, I hope that none of you foam at the mouth and let it run down your beard. All right, because that does kind of look crazy. But here, David was trying to do those things. But when we try to live for the Lord, a lot of times the world, it goes exactly opposite of what the world wants to do, what the world thinks is sane, what the world thinks is going to help them move forward or to get up one rung in this dog-eat-dog world that we live in. In Psalms 56, I just want to preach a message today to our church. If you're here today and you're visiting, you are so welcome, and we want you to make sure that you feel that way. But I want to preach a message today that is a little different than what I normally preach, but I definitely know from the song service and everything God has done in my life this week, I just want to preach that God is for you. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that God is for us. But when you get in a situation like David was, where everybody's against you, you realize that there is somebody that's for you. Sometimes when you're in the midst of Christians and you're around other people that love Jesus Christ, sometimes we feel like God may be against us because we're not like somebody else, or we're not at the level where somebody else is for. And God does want you to grow up in grace. He wants you to grow closer to Him in your fellowship and your time with Him. But at no time that God is chastening or living and acting in your life should you ever think that God is not for you. God is for you. David here was on the run. He's called. He's anointed. Do you understand the blessing of God on David's life, that God anointed him king over Israel? But there was still a king. And he had to run from him. You realize David's blessed of God, and he's going to do all these great things for the Lord, but now he finds himself, he can't even live in his homeland. He's in some foreign land, and now he's captive, if you can take it that way. And he had to act in such a way that threw people off so that they didn't kill him. For us, all the times, we may think we got it bad, but David had it pretty bad. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, as bad as you may have it and as bad as the circumstances are, God's not against you. He's for you. And this morning, if we could wrap our mind around it, and we think sometimes that if we could just get a hold of the encouraging thought that God is for me, and if God is for me, that He has a plan for me and He has a purpose for my life, it would fix most of the problems that we have in our mind today, and it would also keep us from becoming discouraged because God is for me. And if God be for me, then who can be against me, the Scripture says. But today in Psalms 56, as David is in a low point, he gets aside. And I don't know, but I almost named this the crazy man psalm in the title this morning. But I want you to make sure that the thought that you take home with you today is that God is for you. If you will, I want you to pray. And if you've come to the place, or if you've ever had a thought where God's not for you, that God's against you, I wish today that you would bow your head in your heart and you would ask God to forgive you for that thought and ask God to help you gain the knowledge today and to set it down deep inside your soul that God is for you today in the message. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for every person that came into the building. Lord, your word is so perfect and so wonderful. Thank you, God, for using David in one of the most trying times of his life to help us understand that you're for us. God, I pray that you'd help me today. Lord, you'd move me out of the way, but Lord, you'd use my lips to speak today the unsearchable riches that can be found in knowing that God is for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In Psalms 56, I pray you'll go with me to the very first verse of the chapter and read with me what the Bible says here. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up, for fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many. They fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I just want you to understand that knowing that God is for you this morning as we read through this chapter, that fear should be turned into faith when we realize that God is for us. He says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Now, you may think that this man is paranoid. But folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian and you'll tell somebody else that you're a Christian, guess what people do with your words? They look to use them against you. Because whether you believe it or not, the world who are all over so accepting of everything else, they're not so accepting of Christians. And even though you may not know all the rules and know how Christians ought to live, the world acts like they do. And they're waiting for you to say the wrong word. They're waiting for you to slip up. And not only, listen, if you live a life after you're saved and you begin this process thinking that God is not for you, then you will think everybody's against you. Because the world will begin the process of checking all your words. And they'll say, I thought you were a Christian when you say one that you shouldn't say. Or if you say something in a way you shouldn't say it. Or say it into a person that you shouldn't say that to. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, the world is not the friend of the believer. The world's after us. You say, I got friends in the world. I agree with you. I make friends also. The Bible says, make friends of mammon. You know why it tells us that? It says, because when you fail. Now, it didn't say if you fail. The Bible says when you fail. You know, I'm just going to tell you today, it's awful prideful to think that you're never going to fail at anything that you ever attempt. But it's a resting thought to think, when I fail, God is for me. That he's there to catch me, to help me. Even at the end of the chapter, he's going to keep me from slipping, from my fall. But again, I'm just going to tell you today, if we're not careful, we'll come to a place where we fear. We don't just fear man, we fear attempting anything for God. We fear what God will do with us if we completely surrender to his word and do it his way. We fear all kinds of things. Why don't we turn our fear today into faith and just realize that God's for us? That God loves us, and just like David, when he anointed him to be king, none of us questioned that God had his best intentions at heart, that he wanted David to live his best life. He wanted David to be the best he could ever be. But folks, God knew when he anointed him to be king, there would be opposition, that there would be trial, that there would be things that only God could bring David through, and that David would have to trust in his God to be what he needed to be. Folks, do you know that you are no different than David? Although God may never have anointed you to be king of Israel, God has anointed and has a calling upon your life. He created you to do something that is purposeful in this life. And if you're not careful, you'll seek to do something that you feel like that you won't fail at. I have many children, and some of my children, are gifted. Amen? They're gifted in different things. All of them have different abilities. And when they go after something, some of them go after certain things because they feel like they have ability to accomplish that. But sometimes I've noticed in their lives they're scared of things that they're not sure that they can accomplish. They're scared to take on something that is just a little bit outside of their own ability or out of their own control. Do you know so many Christians that sat in this building this morning are just like some of my children, and you are God's children? And he knew when he penned this down, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he knew who you were, and he knew that you would be challenged to go full on for him because you knew you could accomplish and successfully be this type of Christian. But you're scared to death of falling or failing at being this type of Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you that God is for you? God is not a kind of God that when you trip up trying to be something for him, that he beats you while you're down. God is not the kind of God that is unjust or unwilling to pick you up and to help you when you fall. David knew that. He said, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure, but in God, I'm going to. You know, when we come to the place where we realize that we can't, but God can, it changes everything. Because the God that called me to something, or God that gave me a desire to do something in his will and in his work, in him I can do it. When I realize that I will fail if I do this on my own, if I do it my way, that I will fail at it. But when I give it to him and I trust him and I put everything on him, listen, I'm going to tell you, there can be success. There can even be, for me, I'll just say this. I wake up on a daily basis surprised what God does with my life. Not because of who I am, but because of who God is. And I know my shortcomings, and I know my failures, and I know my faults. But now I'm learning to know that God can overcome all of those things if I just put my trust in him. Folks, every one of us could live in fear. Instead, God desires us to put our trust in him and to live by faith. Now, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. But you've got to begin with the premise that God's not for me just to be saved. God's for me. God loves me. God will encourage me. Folks, there are times in our lives, if we're not careful, that every day, look at verse number 5, that every day is what pulls us away from God. What did he say in verse 4? In God, I will praise his word. In God, how are we ever? Listen, you know that the world is going to have an easier time on a daily basis resting my words when they're not God's words. But when I spend every day of my life putting my trust and faith in God, and I get in his word, and I put praise to his word. Do you know when I praise his word? The world, they don't just rest my word. Guess what the world does to God's words? They rest them. They twist them. They attack them. But when they're his words, I can stand safely on them. When they're my words, I question whether I said something right. Sometimes I feel bad, but I'm just going to tell you, I learned a long time ago, my opinion really doesn't matter. The only opinion that matters is God's opinion. And his opinion can be found in his word. And I praise God for his opinion. I will build my family upon God's position and his opinion, what we call his word. I'll praise him for it because it will always lead me to a place. Listen, every one of us, you say, well, preacher, I built my family upon, we've had struggles. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, when you don't put both feet firmly on God's will and his way, every once in a while we'll slip and stumble because we try to put one in the world and one on God's word. But God still loves you. Many of you sitting in this building today, you got somebody in your family, maybe one of your children, who is not doing it God's way, and they're wayward, and you would say, boy, I don't know. No, I know God still loves that child as well. God still loves them. God still desires for them to come home. God desires to see you faithful and trusting the Lord so that that one that's wayward in a way, just like the prodigal, can see you faithful and trusting God and come back home to the place that they've always wanted to be. Right in the center of God's will. Happy. Find joy in Him. Peace. Look at what he says in verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Listen, this world isn't just happy to check out and take attack on your words. They're watching your steps. They're watching not only what you say, but every step you make. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, they're really not happy with just killing the body. Even though we don't think the world is spiritual, they're led by the devil. They don't know it. They don't realize their father's the devil. They don't realize that they're doing his work. But listen, they're after your very soul. But isn't it a blessing if you're saved and on your way to heaven? They can't have it. They can't get it. They can't wrest it away because God says in John chapter 10 that it's in my hand. Jesus says, you're in my hand and I'm in the Father's hand and no man can take you out of my hand. Folks, I'm just telling you, God is for us. He's for you. You college students, you ought to lock down the idea that God is for me. He didn't bring me to college to drop out. You students, He didn't bring you here to fail. He brought you here to pass. And if you trust in Him and you put your faith and trust in Him and walk with His walk and His word, listen, you'll pass. You'll go on for God and you'll do what God wants you to do in your life. You church members, God is for you. He wants you to be built up in Him, rooted and grounded in the word of God. In this place, God wants more for you than you probably want for yourself in spiritual things, and He's for you. He goes on and says, shall they escape from iniquity? Now, David, what happens when we allow that the world attack us? We start getting bitter. I'm trying to live for you, God, and these people are doing better than I am. He says, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? David begins to write on the inspiration of God and tell us that God knows every tear that you shed. God knows when you feel broken and you get away from Him and you feel like you're all by yourself. When you get to the place where you get the poochy lip disease and you are crying and saying, listen, I'm trying to do everything I can do for God and the world is doing better than I am. You men that try to live for God and put your kids in Christian school and scrape together some things so you can do right. And then somebody's got a bigger boat than you. And you go, listen, if I didn't live for God, I could have a boat like that. Well, those are stupid thoughts to begin with. But we think them. Because we start thinking, listen, I'm trying to do something for God. And I'm trying to give to His work. I'm trying to give to missions. I'm trying to do all these things. And God is blessing these other people. Don't think that God's not for you. And don't think that the things that the devil has used and blessed the world with to keep them out of church. Do you know how many people today are on their boat instead of being in church? And the reason they've never been saved and the reason that they've never come to Christ is because a boat keeps them out of the house of God. Hey, I'm just telling you, there are guys that are wrenching on their car. And many of you guys, you think, man, if I could just have that kind of car. I don't know what it is that you women do, but whatever it is, them women that got what you don't got, I wish I knew what it was. I'd use it as an illustration, but you know who they are. And you know what they got that you don't got. Amen? But we covet it. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a bigger pool than you have. Hey, I'm just going to tell you today, if we're not careful, we'll get down And the tears will fall from my eye because we forget that God is for us. And the tears will fall not because we're broken over our sin. Tears will fall not because we're not what God wants us to be, but we'll cry because of our circumstances. And we'll look like we're encompassed about with unwinnable task, an unwinnable war. We cannot get out of these circumstances when God is desperately wanting to be a part of your life, waiting for you to put your trust in Him and waiting for you to really say, God, You're my God and I know that You're for me. I'll do it Your way and I'll do it in Your will. And watch God act in your life and do what you could never do. But instead, we'll cry. And then then David comes to himself. You know, this is the only time that David, listen, just like the prodigal son, sometimes we're prodigal Christians. And when we get done weeping for things that we don't have, when we get done being broken over the things of the world instead of spiritual things, we come to a place where instead of crying in ourselves and asking God to pick up our tears, put them in a bottle, we decide to cry out to God. Because you realize crying tears out our eyes is just another place of being fearful. And again, every one of us do it. I'm going to tell you today. It's not that we don't get to, but I'm just telling you, most of the time we cry to ourselves before we ever cry out to God. And when we wipe our tears, then we'll cry out to God. Because we woke through a place of hopelessness. And then we remember who our hope is really in. Because we thought this would bring us happiness or this other person could help us, when really, unless it's the person of God, that's where our trust resides. That's whom our God is. That's the person that is always for us. And he goes on, he says this. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. And this, I love this, and I underline this and underscored it in my Bible. This I know. He doesn't have a guess about it. All the way up until this place, he is all about things that how he feels and what he thinks about the situation, about his own opinion. But now he goes back to this I know. I got Bible on it. I've got proof in my own life. This I know, for God is for me. Folks, God is for you today. As he was for David, he's for you. If he loved David, he can love you that way this morning, and he is for you and on your side. He's not for you going out and living in sin or doing it your way, but God is for you to get saved and to get solid with God. He's for you. Sometimes we think, God's not for me. Look at all this chastening that's on my hand. Listen, every time, I'm going to tell you one of the hardest things that this daddy ever did was correct his children. But there's not one time that I ever corrected my child in a biblical way that I was not for them. There are a bunch of parents that have children, and Dr. Spock taught them that they didn't need correction. That if they fanned the little flame of their littleness, that they'd blossom into a bonfire. And those people burned the backyard down. Some of them burned houses down. Some of them burned their parents down, burned testimonies down, because all you did was let them be who they are. And the truth of it is just like you, they're just a little sinner. And a little sinner will do what little sinners do unless they get saved, unless they put their faith and trust in God. Do you know, most of the time that I really understood heaven, hell, correction, and that there was punishment to come is because I had a daddy that punished me when I did wrong. How in the world is this world ever going to come to a place, or even your family and your children, going to realize they need to be saved if there's never been punishment? If there's never been wrong or right, but whatever you choose to do is okay. Folks, I'm just going to give you a little wake-up moment. You don't serve a God like that. But you do have a God that's for you. And if you had a good family and you had a good upbringing, you'd know that even though your daddy may have not, he may have not always been kind when you did wrong, he loved you. And he didn't do that because he didn't love you. He did that because he did. And for all of you that didn't have a good home structure, you walked in here today and you ought to realize that God loves you. When you come into church, you ought to realize that God said He would be the father of the fatherless. That you have a God in heaven who cared about you and sent His Son to die for you. And if you want to talk about the ultimate sacrifice that anybody could give, somebody that's not even His own child, to send His only begotten Son to die for you, to make you a part of His family, you ought to realize that from heaven, if nobody else had loved you, if nobody else cared, if nobody else invested in you, God from heaven reached down to pick you up and to put you in His family and to let you know that He was for you. Sometimes we can get to a place where we think everybody's against us, and that's where David was. And he comes through this and he says, "In God will I praise," in verse 10, "His word." You know, he goes back. You know where I found salvation? Somebody took me and told me about God's word and then took me to God's word and took me through what God said, that He would give me eternal life. If I would call upon the name of the Lord, I would be saved from death, hell. He goes through the process and he says, "In God have I put my trust." Once I had gone to God's word, look in verse 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." David takes what he already knew from earlier in the chapter and reiterates it for us. Because folks, guess what will happen in your Christian life just like it happens in mine? After I've been saved for 20, 30 years, right? About every decade, I get Dupuytren's lip disease. And I get trusting in things and methods and sometimes men. And I forgot that all my trust ought to be in God. And my faith has to be renewed. And I have to come back to a place where not to get saved. You don't got to get saved but one time. But there have been many times when I said, "Listen, God, I'm fearful and I'm afraid." And I realize I have no business being fearful and afraid, because I have someone to put my faith in. Listen, didn't we just go through that not too long ago? About 5 years ago, you know, now we went through this thing called COVID. Did we see Christians go crazy with fear instead of having faith? Hey, we did. All across the country. We saw it all across the world. People who claimed to have faith in God, and instead of having faith in Him, they had faith in Fauci. Hey, I think every one of us, listen, I'm not getting after anybody today. I'm just trying to remind you, for all of us, it takes... is something to put fear and strike fear in our heart. And instead of not fearing what men can do to us, but put faith in God, he says, "Thy vows are upon me." Do you know David? He looked back in his life and realized that God had anointed him to be king. And although we don't know all the vows that he made that day, we don't have them recorded, I'm looking forward. After I read this verse, I got thinking about what it'll be like to meet David face to face in heaven. Say, could you tell me? Because listen, nobody takes a position of power without making some vows that they will execute certain things and that they will do certain things. Even here as your pastor, when I was called to be pastor, I agreed to function and to keep God's word. I said I would function and do things, again, by our constitution and bylaws. For every one of us, folks, I'm just going to tell you, he made some vows to God that he would keep. And he says, listen, he says, "Thy vows," look, I love this. He says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee." I've made some promises, God. I'm glad you reminded me about them. You know, in this building today, I guarantee you there's some Christians that have made some promises to God that you haven't kept. And wouldn't it be great today to realize that God is for you? The day that you made those vows and you felt close to him, he still wants you to keep them. He's not here to show up with a bat and beat you into doing what you told him you would do. He would like for you to love him and do them because you love him, because he's for you. To realize that, hey, you made promises to me, let's get back to them. You made some vows to me, let's get back to them. Whether it is reading your Bible or praying, whether it's just seeking his face on something, you say, I'll never do anything without asking you, God. But you're looking back at circumstances and you did a couple things without asking him. And now you're reaping for it. That ain't God's fault. Why don't we just say, God, I'll trust you. I can't go back and undo all the things that I did in between, but God, today, I put my trust back in you again. I know that you're for me. Look at what he says. For all of us, he says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now, listen, we may think that, you know, David here is just talking about singular death because he's in this foreign land and they want to kill him. That Saul wanted to kill him. He reminds me a lot of the Apostle Paul. Anywhere he goes, everybody wants to kill him. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, listen, he's not just talking about the death that we have, live here on earth. He's talking about the second death that we find in hell. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21 this morning. I want you to see this. I'm hesitant, you know, for time's sake, I'm hesitant to have you read this, but I think many of you have only quoted verse 8, and I want to read the preceding verses to you. Revelation 21, I want you to see here as you turn. I'm going to hasten then after you get there, but I want to give you time. He has delivered my soul from death. If he's going to give me eternal life, I had to escape an eternal death. And for every one of us that are lost and in our sins and have never accepted Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says that we're headed to an eternal death. Here in chapter 21 in verse 8, it calls it the second death. Because when a man dies with his body, the spirit also dies if it's not saved, if it's not been given eternal life, and it spends an eternity separated from God. Look at what it says in verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm excited that salvation is done this morning. It was done by a special person, the only person that could do it. The only person that could save everybody from the beginning and the end, because he is the beginning and the end. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. One of the greatest blessings of my life is to be able to walk in the building and to preach what God laid upon my heart. And if you can't go back, you ought to go back and watch the service online this morning and know that every song lined up perfectly with what is preached this morning. Now, I didn't ask them to sing those things. That's them following God's will in their life to sing it, and then for God's man to show up and preach what God said to preach. There's a fountain of life that only God can give. And Alpha and Omega said, I'll give it to everybody that calls upon my name. And then he says in verse 7, and he that overcometh, overcomers are saved people, shall inherit all things. Now, I don't know about you, but we've been preaching a little bit about things. You know what we get bent out of shape and we get upset about is when the world has more things than us. But all things are coming to everyone that is an overcomer one day. Don't think that you've ever seen a house that won't be better. Listen, you down here, oh man, that your mansion in heaven won't be better then. Don't think that you've ever seen a blacktop road going into a development, whether it's cobblestone or concrete, that will look as good as the street of gold that goes by the front of your house. Don't you get bent out of shape and think that God is unfaithful to you, because one day he will show himself faithful when he reaches down and picks you up and puts you in his house, the place that he prepared for you. Sometimes we think with worldly minds and we think with worldly thoughts that this is everything. And this ain't everything, folks. This is just the beginning, because the Alpha and Omega from heaven said he's the beginning and the end and the overcomers. I'm an overcomer this morning. If you're saved this morning, you ought to realize, you know what, it's easy for me to realize that God is for me when God says, you're an overcomer. Do you know why you have to be called an overcomer? Because there's things to overcome. Because there's a battle. And this life ain't easy. Pastor Carter always tells me, getting old ain't for sissies. You had to overcome getting up out of the chair this morning. You had to overcome deciding that staying here and watching it online would be easier than getting out of the chair and putting myself in the car and being in God's house. You overcame some things. Hey, that seems like a simple thing, but I'm just going to tell you, overcomers overcome because God is for us. Not because we can do it, not because we have the ability, but because God has the ability. God has the strength. God has his trust. He has the truth. He's the one. And he goes on and he says this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see that the Bible is so perfect that he didn't let me think about that this would only be Jesus' promise. If you're reading the King James Bible this morning and you got a good one, that S is not a capital S, that's a little S. And because I'm an overcomer this morning, all the things I get is that God will be my God and that he's for me this morning. That my God that is for me is my God. It's hard not to be an overcomer when you realize that the Alpha and Omega of all of everything is on your side. And that if you would just trust him, he'll lead you over anything that's in the midst of your life. Any problem, any struggle, and the biggest one that he'll help you get over is hell. And in context, he's leading to that. Look at what he says. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, if I don't allow myself to accept Jesus' payment on the Alpha and Omega's payment for my sin, then I'm under one of these things. Folks, I preached a message to you this morning to trust. Because two times in the scripture, someone we know who is a man after God's own heart said he was fearful. Folks, you don't have to be a murderer to go to hell. Okay, you don't have to be whoremonger, sorcerer, idolater. You don't have to be a liar to go to hell. All you got to be is fearful and unbelieving. If we took a poll of Americans as we approach this political environment that we're about to, nobody has overcoming faith in either one of the candidates. They have fear. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. Now, we may fear that the other side's going to get in more than we are our side. But both sides are fearful. I don't have faith in either side of that thing. But today, I know God's for me. And I know that this place ain't my home, that the Alpha and Omega has it all well in hand. And that, listen, I've been saved from the second death. Why should I fear what man would do unto me? I'm trusting in God. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're God's child, please realize God's for you. We're about to go into a campaign and we ought to take a hold of a fresh hold of our God, the Alpha and Omega, and say, God, you could use me to do things that I used to do. God, you could help me overcome this thing that's in my life and use me for your honor and glory. I know you can. Hey, how about this? If you're inside the building today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you don't have eternal life. You are going to face the second death, which is in hell. And what you desperately need to do is get God to the place where he's for you. Do you know God was for you before the foundation of the world? He sent his son to die on Calvary. And all you need to do to get into his family is accept his son and his finished work on Calvary for your sins. Take him as your payment so that you don't have to die and go to hell, but you got eternal life. Listen, today, God's for you. Are you willing to be for God? You know, when I fell down on my face, all I did was confess what I believed. Most people will die and go to hell because they did not confess with their mouth that the Lord Jesus came from heaven. He was the sinless Son of God. That he died on the cross and rose again. The death, burial, and resurrection. You know, that's what I confessed. I didn't confess all my sins. I didn't confess all my works. I confessed Jesus. Do you know, if you're in the building today, you, just like I did, you could put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because God's for you. And you know what God would be for? Any sinner that is not saved, walking an aisle and getting saved this morning. accepting Christ as your Savior. You say, you don't understand what I've done. God already knows what you've done, and He paid for it on Calvary. He's for you. I hope you understand that today. He loves you, and He wants to save you if you'll just call upon His name. You remember when the psalmist David, he cried a bunch of tears about his circumstances and all the trial, but when he realized what he really needed to do to change his future was to cry out to God. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's exactly what you need to do. Instead of crying any more tears about the circumstances and things that are out of your control, you ought to fall on your faith and call out to a holy God and say, God, I need to be saved. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I want Him to come in and give me eternal life. He will do it for you today because God's for you. If you've accepted Christ in the past, in what way do you believe this morning that God is not for you? I asked you at the beginning of the service to bow your head and heart, to ask God to forgive you about that. I hope you did. If not, maybe after the message this morning, you could take time either in your seat or at the altar and say, God, I'm sorry that I thought that you couldn't or you wouldn't. I realize now that you're for me. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, it's a very simple message. And as simple as the message was, it's a very simple response. It's to realize that God is for you and to trust in Him. Trust in Him for what is really personal to you. Maybe today you need to trust Him to personally be your Savior and to give you eternal life. If you've already done that, then personally you need to realize that in your life there is something to overcome and you need to trust God to help you overcome it. I'm going to pray today, but if I could, before I pray, is there someone here today while heads are bowed and eyes are closed that would say, preacher, I need to be saved. I've never accepted Jesus. I want to call out to Him and be saved this morning. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up while nobody's looking but me and God and say, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you hold it up a minute if you were like that? Is there one that's like that? I saw a hand, I think. Is there another? I want to be able to pray for you this morning. Is there another that would slip up your hand? How many of you would slide your hand up and say, I have asked Jesus to come into my heart? Would you slip your hand up so we could see that hand? Amen. I see those hands. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. How many of you would say this morning, preacher, I needed the message. I needed to be reminded this morning that God was for me. Would you slip it up now? I want to pray for you as well. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray. But if God spoke to your heart and you've already been saved, if you want to step out, you can come. I'm going to pray for these that need to be saved. Dear Lord, I pray. I saw one hand. Lord, I think I saw a second, but Lord, you saw the hands from heaven. And Lord, I pray you would help them, encourage them to step out and to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that to walk away from the fear and to put their faith and trust in you. I hope that God today, those that have been saved and you call them overcomers, Lord, truly today they'd be overcomers and they'd overcome their fear by putting their faith back in you because you're for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come this morning and do business with God?
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and folks are praying, if you're here today and don't know Christ as your Savior, this is an old-fashioned invitation, and we invite you to step out and to let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here and you know how to be saved, then listen, maybe you ought to be praying for other people in the building that maybe you saw, or maybe that somebody that raised their hand close to you. Why don't you pray for them right now? But if you're here and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but it's been a long time since I've been an overcomer. Why don't you overcome your fear and your doubt by making a way down the old-fashioned aisle that it started out. When you started out and got saved, you walked down that aisle and got saved, why don't you walk down that aisle today and just say, I'm going to overcome some of the fears and I'm going to trust God today. Why don't you do that as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. Listen, I hope you did what God asked you to do this morning in the service, but if you didn't, if you need to be saved, right after the service, I would be happy to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason. That's what we want today. If you'll be seated, we have something to share with you this morning. We have some of our young people joining from our college, and we're going to do this over the next couple services here. And Lennox, if you'll step up. All of you can come on up here if you would. And is that Thomas? Megan, is that Megan? That's right, Megan. And on Charity. What's that? That can't be Megan then, is it? It's too. Oh, I'm sorry, Charity and... what's the other one I'm missing here? Keegan. Okay. All right. I'm going to work on my K's here, or somebody else needs to work on it. Amen. Amen. I knew who was standing here. Amen. But I was trying to read off the paper. Amen. These young people have come this morning. They're in our college, and we have them join our church. And everyone that would welcome them into our church with a right hand of fellowship, and so carried. All right. They're moving their membership here by statement. And so what we want to do this morning is have you come by and just welcome them in. All right. We're trying to do this in smaller groups. That way you guys can get to know them a little bit instead of a sea of them all at one time. Amen. Let's stand together. And today we'll be closed in prayer. Amen. Brother Perkins, would you come and close us in prayer this morning?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the message this morning, Father. We pray that you'll allow us to take it with us and meditate upon it and apply it to our lives. And Father, we thank you for these young people that are joining up with us and coming back to school. And Father, we ask your blessings upon them. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you. We praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.